Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I love these nights. I love these shows when it feels like the entire world is buzzing about the NFL draft. And I still am pretty confident that the viewership numbers will top last year's record, 55 million, just based on the buzz and the excitement, the party on the shores of Lake Erie. So congratulations. Kudos to you, Cleveland, and to the fans who showed up there and brought the noise. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get back to your draft reaction. It's pouring in. I can't keep up with your comments on our Facebook page, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and we've had full phone lines for most of the show. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. But I had told you, this was not my choice, it was his. I'm happy to accommodate that I had a pre-planned interview with Oklahoma Athletic Director Joe Castiglione. He's a longtime friend of mine. He's been a great supporter of me and the show going back to my days when I worked in Oklahoma City and then in Norman. Very first sports talk show in my life was done in Norman, Oklahoma as a solo host. I was terrible. I'm glad there are no tapes of said shows. But Joe Castiglione, in response to my emails going back now over a month ago, picked this Thursday as the date when he was available and could do an interview. And so I wasn't going to quibble with him. So earlier on Thursday afternoon, we had a chance to catch up. We were on the phone for over a half hour. He was very accommodating with his time, very generous and candid with his answers. And I'm pleased to share this interview with you. Oklahoma football is such a great tradition, Joe. And every year, Sooners are drafted in the NFL. It's been first overall like Baker Mayfield or guys like Jalen Hurts later in the draft. So how proud are you as an athletic director to watch these guys prepare and then make it to the next level?
Very proud. And we spend a great deal of our planning trying to figure out ways how to put our players in the best position to be prepared. And so it makes us just, you know, exceedingly proud of them to see, you know, how their career takes its new step. And then once they do get with a new team, how they blossom afterwards. And so we've got a lot of watch parties going on in Oklahoma over the last several years. You know, you have the Browns watch parties for Baker, and then you've got the Ravens watch parties for seeming like four or five Sooners that are playing for the Baltimore Ravens. Just saw Orlando Brown go to Kansas City and now end up being a prominent player for the Chiefs, but we have two other players that have been part of their run, James Winchester, the deep snapper, and Blake Bell, who's tight end and plays special teams. You know, they were on the Super Bowl champion team a couple of years ago and still there. So it's really been fun. And then, of course, you can pick out this team or that team. And you mentioned Jalen, CeeDee Lamb at the Cowboys. I could go on and on. And it's just so fun to see them really thrive. The other part, Amy, that makes us feel even better is that they realize this is like a second home for them. And it's not like you came to Oklahoma and you played and you move on and that's that. You know, that we really feel like it's important that they know that they are going to be part of our family forever and ever, and that they can always feel welcome to come back and be around the program. We want them around the program. And many of them are now buying homes here to be in the off season or, you know, to have something, you know, when they come back.
Wow. I understand that feeling because that's how I feel about Oklahoma. I feel like I left a piece of my heart there, and it always does feel a bit like home when I return. I got to tell you, blast from the past, Josh Heupel getting hired at Tennessee. He was the quarterback, of course, for the national championship in 2000, which I covered so early in my sports broadcasting career. And to move, you know, from school to school and now to end up at Tennessee, that's amazing.
We're thrilled for him. He's obviously an enormous part of our history. We'll forever be grateful for what he did with his teammates to lead us to a national championship. In fact, we were going to celebrate the reunion last year if not for the pandemic. We would have had a reunion on campus. We did one virtually, and we'll have those guys back on campus this fall. But as you know, Coach Bob Stoops is still living here in Norman, is around our program a lot. His son is playing for us. By the way, earned a scholarship and was awarded one last week after the spring game.
Awesome.
And so a lot of those guys that were teammates of Josh, you know, still, we see him a lot. But we're so happy for him. By the way, the Sooners were supposed to play Tennessee last year before the chaos ensued about how we lost games and ended up playing mostly conference games. But so we've rescheduled that game, but it's many years out. However, we go back to Tennessee, what was originally part of that return game. So the Sooners will be playing the Josh Heupel-led Tennessee Volunteers in 2024. So that'll be quite an interesting matchup.
Joe Castiglione is with us from Norman, Oklahoma, where he's been the athletic director going back to the late 90s. So just predating my time in Norman. It's so good to have him with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Joe, you mentioned last spring, and compared to what you're overseeing right now with gymnastics and softball, and I could go on and on about all the different sports that take place in the spring, golf, of course, but take me back to last spring and what it was like to see all of that shut down.
I have to tell you, Amy, that was a very low point. I felt horrible. I mean, part of being a good leader is having empathy amongst many other good qualities, but I felt horrible for the student athletes. Now, you know, we have to step back and consider the perspective. We were entering something that none of us could fully grasp. It just was thrust upon us so fast that we, you know, having to go in team meetings and tell them their seasons were being canceled. I mean, not delayed. Not postponed, canceled. And, you know, there were different teams in various stages of their season, many of which were heading to a postseason, getting ready to play a conference for a conference championship or for a national championship. I think of I could cite a lot of teams, but one of our teams, our women's gymnastics team, was literally the team of the ages, maybe the best ever women's gymnastics team. And we're final year of Maggie Nichols, who's maybe the best gymnast, collegiate gymnast, you know, the sport has ever seen. And we have to tell them their season's over. And it's not just their season, but, you know, in the case of Maggie, her career was over, just like that. And it was cold, it was harsh. It was, you know, sickening in a lot of ways. But as I mentioned, we had to step back and realize what we were entering. And as difficult as that was, it was more difficult for a lot of people in our country that were being infected by a virus as it was rapidly going across the country. And even then, we didn't know how long that would last, you know, and what would be. We're just learning about it all in real time. So, you know, think about that. And some of those student athletes never got another chance.
Right.
Some did. Some did. The spring sport athletes did. They had a chance to come back. And now in the fall and winter sports, they were given the same opportunity. So we were dealing with extended eligibility. That was a challenge in itself. But again, you know, it's balanced by the fact we're living through a pandemic. and learning about it in real time.
Right.
And having to figure out, can we have sports? Are we going to be, how are we going to navigate it? What do the student athletes feel? And then we experienced during the summer one of the most horrific events that, you know, I can remember in my life, you know, with George Floyd and what that has, how that's touched people. And hopefully we're all committed to the way that we are trying to have the conversations that lead us, you know, to better relationships, better respect, better opportunity, better equality, ending racism, all of that. You know, the student athletes have processed all that, and we were able to have a season. It was shortened, but we had the season. We played for a championship, and then got into winter sports. They did the same, and now we're in spring sports. So, Amy, sometimes you think about this and you realize, gee, you know, maybe we don't fully appreciate the blessings of just being able to play. There's still a lot of that focus, like how you do and whether you didn't live up to expectation. But this year, the blessing was got to play.
Yes.
Because there were times that looked like we may not have any sports.
Every time I think about how crazy this spring is with so much happening, and there's this tendency to say, oh, I'm so tired, or anything like that. This is insane. I remember where we were a year ago, and I think I am so grateful for what's happening right now in sports and, of course, in our country. Joe Castiglione is with us from the University of Oklahoma. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Obviously, a bazillion daily decisions went into making this work, and not just for your campus, but for the Big 12, for the NCAA, for sports all across the country to be able to manage it in a year unlike any other. How did you balance the desire to play sports and allow these athletes to have that experience, but also staying safe and making sure you were keeping their best interests and the best interests of your campus also front and center?
I like the way you said that, because that is exactly how you moved ahead and had our benchmark. What is in the best interests of the people we serve? Their welfare, their safety, their health, and the ability to do this the right way. And that was our benchmark. And I can go back to the earliest of interviews I had in that March, that week after Rudy Gobert tested positive, and everybody, you know, started, you know, realizing what we were up against and shutting down events and then ultimately canceling seasons. But I really think that we were fortunate that we went right to the experts in health and science, and we listened. And we let the quality of the science and the perspectives of the experts, the epidemiologists, the infectious disease specialists, educate us on what we should and should not be doing. And then we stayed in close contact with our student athletes, and obviously our coaches and the staff were involved. Communicate, trying to stay in touch. We're trying to keep them motivated. There's mental health aspects that people don't talk about. Fortunately, we have Zoom. I can talk it. I became a Zoomaholic. But, you know, I've FaceTime, we've done Skype, we've had those other kinds of things, video conferencing before, but we figured out ways, Amy, to have, you know, contact with our student athletes, even though they were spread out all over the world, literally.
Right.
And they were trying to figure out, what do I do? You know, I'm going to class, but how do I stay in condition? Well, I can't work out. Places are closed. I mean, think about all these things that were going on last March, April, May. We're trying to figure out how to get them back on campus just to have a workout. And then whether we're going to, you know, be able to move into a practice. And then you'll remember late July and August last
year.
And where, like we talked earlier, we're on the threshold of shutting down college sports. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. We were, you know, we're talking about, can we have a regular season? What kind of schedule we could play? And then people started making announcements that they were going to play conference only. And then you're working through logistics of that. And next thing you know, they're talking about not playing at all. And you know, one conference announces, another conference announces, and then it puts all the rest of them on notice. You know, Ivy League decided. Everybody's making their own decisions, and you're faced with whether you just follow suit or you think through this. And I can just tell you, in my own personal experience, we were in touch with our athletes, as I mentioned, and we asked them what they wanted to do. And, Amy, that was the key right there. What do you want to do? And the vast majority of them said, we want to play. Mm. If you can show us the safe path forward, we want to play. And so we tried to meet their wishes, and we were able to do that. Again, grounding decisions in the science and the expertise that we had available. I give the student athletes a lot of credit because it was no fun having to, you know, stay away from things they normally do, getting out amongst other people, couldn't go anywhere. They had to be tested many times a week. You know, there were a lot of those inconveniences. You think back just a few weeks ago with the NCAA tournament where everybody was in a bubble and, you know, they got out for practice and competition and that was it. But they realized the trade-off was worth it. And again, it goes back to why we even have our jobs. Putting them in the best position to be successful when they're with us and preparing them, like we talked about at the beginning of the interview, for what comes beyond their college experience.
Mm. Well, I'm glad you mentioned hope, because that has been my word that I have tried to hang on to over the past now 14 months. And joy, too, the joy in the small things, even just seeing your teams run out on the field. I can imagine there was joy in that the first time that it happened, as much as there's anxiety associated with it. Joe Castiglione is with us from Norman, Oklahoma. And I have to tell you, when I heard the news that Sherry Cole was retiring, man, talk about another moment that just gave me pause. She and her staff had always been so kind to me when I was just trying to figure out, how do I cover a basketball team at the college level? And I just am so pleased that I had a chance to work with her when I was there. But then also Lon Kruger retires too, Joe. On top of everything else, you have to replace two incredible coaches in the span of a couple weeks.
Yes. Two legends. You know, obviously, Sherry's already a Hall of Famer. The multiple conference titles, the multiple Final Fours, the women that she's impacted. Actually, you know, making that sport such a hot sport in our state.
Right.
And she took over a program that was literally in shambles. I mean, we don't have time to get into all the details, but this precedes me. But early in the 90s, they actually dropped women's basketball for some number of days. It was brought back pretty quick, but that program was just struggling in the 90s, and so she made it an iconic program in women's basketball. And then, of course, Lon Kruger, who's taken five different universities to NCAA tournament and has been in Final Fours. He had a Final Four team here with us, and the 10 years were magical with him. And both of them are just great people, very involved in the community, did things with class and integrity, and they're legends in every
yes.
sense of the word, and left a great legacy. So trying to replace them both virtually at the same time was quite a unique challenge. But hey, we're at Oklahoma. We embrace all the kinds of challenges. And so very thrilled with the two coaches we hired, Porter Moser and Jenny Baranchek. They've both led programs that were struggling before they got there to consistent success in conference championships and getting in the NCAA tournament. And of course, we remember the great run just two, three years ago by Loyola getting to the threshold of the national championship game. And they were minutes away. Michigan got them in the end, but they had a great run. And then this year, watching them in the tournament and what they did in winning that game against Illinois. And,
right.
And Illinois was it was a great team this year, and many had Illinois go into the Final Four and a national championship contender. And Yeah, so we've got them both here. They fit us perfectly, and we're very, very happy to start their new eras and what they're doing with Oklahoma, and we expect to keep the program growing. Hmm.
My last question, Joe, I mean, you've been there more than two decades now. Why is it so special? Why is that campus and that city so special, and why does it leave such an impact on people who go through it?
The people, pure and simple. The quality of the people here, the culture, the support, the people that came before us, you know, they obviously helped create a path, you know, a great model for others to follow. We stand on their shoulders, and we'll be trying to make us strong so somebody that comes after us can stand on our shoulders. I mean, it really is, you know, we're passing the torch, if you will, from one era to the next. And we've been able to, you know, use that model and that blueprint to help sports that didn't have any success become very successful and become the gold standards in their sport. We talked about gymnastics earlier. We've won national championships in golf. We've won them in baseball. We've won them in
softball.
Well, softball is about to, leading up to softball because they're number one in the country right now. And what Patty Gasso has done is legendary.
Yes.
We don't just throw that word around because it's easy. It's amazing. And this year's team is incredibly special. I mean, they're winning. They're not just winning games, but they're winning most of their games in run rule fashion. And and it's against good competition. So we'll see, play well enough that we can end up in the College World Series, which is headquartered right there in Oklahoma City. And I say that not because we're lucky that we have it, because Oklahoma, the University of Oklahoma in particular, was part of building that event up to be special when softball really wasn't on the radar screen. And you get back to people and people's ideas, their goals, their dreams, and really their resilience to not let things knock them off course from, you know, achieving the dreams they set for themselves. And we could talk about a lot of things, but at the end of the day, it always comes back to people.
Like most people, Oklahoma made a huge impression on me, and I can't stay away. So it's great to catch up with you. I am so thankful for your generosity with your time. I know you're very busy right now. Thank you for your candor, for your answers, and you are welcome on my show anytime.
It's a pleasure and an honor. I'm so happy to see you so successful and to have been able to cross your journey's path early on in your career. And we look forward to getting you back to Oklahoma.
Next spring. I actually told Joe that I would make sure I went by campus and visited him in person when I'm back in Oklahoma next year for what will either be a half marathon or a full marathon. Likely, if I try the full marathon, I won't be walking the next day, so I suspect I'd have to visit with him beforehand. Man, what a great conversation. So open and honest about how difficult last year was. And then the decision to play. Why? Because the vast majority of OU athletes, and they asked the athletes, the vast majority of OU athletes said, we want to play. And so they did everything they possibly could to make that come true. But as you hear in his voice, listening to this conference and that conference and then another conference decide they were going to shut down and not play football. This is back in late July, early August. It left the Big 12 and the SEC and the ACC almost standing by themselves. And yet they chose to dig in because at Oklahoma, at least, the athletes wanted to play. So I really learned a lot from him, not to mention that he just had to replace his two college basketball coaches with the two legends retiring. So good stuff with Joe. He came through and kept his end of the bargain and answered all of my questions. And we're going to put that on our YouTube channel because I know it's sandwiched in with all the talk about the draft, but not often that we get a Power Five athletic director who's willing to open up about the challenges of being a leader in a year like what we've just come through. You can find him on Twitter, by the way, at SoonerAD.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
with the 15th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the six-time world champion New England Patriots select Mac Jones.
I'm just excited. It's just a dream come true to play for a great organization like the Patriots, and you kind of just got to take it for what it's worth. It's going to be awesome. So I'm going to go in and do what I did at Alabama and work hard and play my role and do my job.
Here you make the call, not the refs. Light up Amy's phone lines now. 855-212-4CBS.
Mac Jones was grinning from ear to ear. He told Roger Goodell in his ear, got caught on Roger's mic, that this was exactly what he wanted and Roger shouldn't tell anyone. So with the 15th pick, Mac Jones slips to the New England Patriots. I have no idea what they would have done if Justin Fields was still available, but the Bears moved up to get him at number 11. So Mac Jones, Justin Fields, rounding out the five quarterbacks taken in the top 15 of this NFL draft, six in the first round coming from Alabama, which ties the record set by the Miami Hurricanes in 2004. And one more nerd alert. For the first time in any draft ever, the first seven picks all come from the same side of the ball. It had never happened. Whether offense, defense, for the first time ever, the top seven players selected all are on the offensive side of the ball.
That's nerd stuff.
Panthers choose the first defensive guy at number eight with the cornerback J.C. Horn. And the Broncos go back-to-back when they select a corner with Patrick Surtain, who, of course, came out of Alabama. I got to tell you, as a Broncos fan, I was holding my breath thinking, they better not select a quarterback. I don't care if Justin Fields and Mac Jones are there. You've got many quarterbacks. Don't select another quarterback. And then on top of that, earlier in the day, Thursday, the report, I won't even call it a report, the speculation, the rumor out there is that the Broncos are trading for one Aaron Rodgers. It's too many quarterbacks. Now, Aaron Rodgers is, of course, better than most of the quarterbacks out there. But the idea that they would also then turn around and trade for Aaron Rodgers after just having traded for Teddy Bridgewater with Drew Locke on the roster and they were potentially going to draft a QB, it was too much. It was a little bit overwhelming.
I love Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not sure if you all follow Joel Corey. Now, Joel is a former agent and now a salary cap expert in the NFL. He's part of CBS Sports HQ. And he put this tweet out that I thought was interesting, insightful. And I do not believe, let me just underscore here this, I do not believe the Packers are trading Aaron Rodgers. I don't think they're just blowing smoke by saying they're all in on Aaron and that they're not trading him. It's, to me, bottom line, why would you trade him? It makes zero sense. But I did see this post from Joel that I wanted to read to you. He said, after the Aaron Rodgers disgruntled malcontent news broke, if the Packers would trade him before June 2nd, is according to Joel Corey, the dead money, so the dead cap hit, would be greater than $38 million. If they would trade him after June 2nd, the dead cap hit drops to 21 this year, not 21 bucks, $21 million this year, and then $17 million in 22. So it would be split up differently. And you know, the salary cap is about to rise again. So it dropped this year, but it's about to rise again. I know that we've talked about this with the Carson Wentz move to Indianapolis, where the Eagles are willing to absorb this massive cap hit. It's not wise. It's not great business. It's not good finances. Not to mention trading away the NFL MVP is a bad move for your franchise, especially when he's under contract and has no leverage. Where's he going to go? Number one. Number two, is he really going to sit out a year at the end of his career? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But he has no more guaranteed money. So the idea is, oh, maybe he just wants a new deal. Money tends to go a long way in these situations. A lot of athletes equate money with respect. He does have a wedding to get ready for, you know. I highly doubt he's paying for it. But maybe it's a destination wedding, some castle in Ireland.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I know I'm going to love the city, so I'm just super excited to be there. And that's really the main thing that I can say is that I'm going to put the work in. I'm going to do what it takes. And I feel really good about the coaching staff and the team that we have in Jacksonville. And I'm super excited to get down there and meet everybody. But, man, I'm just pumped, and the best is yet to come.
And we're going to be cautious. You know, I've talked to Shad, and I've talked to, obviously, our GM agrees. The most important thing for Trevor is to learn the offense. It's not to sell billboards around the state of Florida. And we're going to be very cautious about that. You know, and the good thing is that that's very important to him. He's not a guy, as you can see, he's not even at the draft. His focus, he wants to live here. He wants to move here. He wants to train here. He wants to, you know, win. And that obviously that's very appealing to our staff.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
How quickly will this become a profitable relationship between Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence? No secrets there, and not really a secret at number two when the Jets drafted Zach Wilson. But after that, all of hell broke loose. And I have to say, well played, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. Well freaking played. What is your reaction? Lots of it coming in. And in fact, a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans thrilled with Najee Harris taken at number 24 overall. What's your reaction to what we saw in Cleveland on the shores of Lake Erie? Actually, even as I look up right now, the replay on NFL Network, which is how I watched it the first time, all of the screens just went bright gold because Roger Goodell is standing at the podium as he announces the Steelers pick. Again, a replay. But what was your reaction to the broadcast, to the party, to the picks, whatever it is that you saw that stood out to you? I loved how loud it was. I loved the electricity. I loved the atmosphere. That cannot be replicated in Roger Goodell's basement, though he did drag the chair out there on stage and a lot of fans got to sit in it. I love the elements that were incorporated from the virtual draft we saw a year ago, because it's cool that so many people were connected from all over the country, including Trevor Lawrence, as you hear his dog barking in the background, and Urban Meyer mentions that he's not even at the draft in Cleveland. So some guys chose to remain with their families. Justin Fields did that. The Alabama guys, though, a lot of them were in Cleveland. So you saw when initially Jalen Waddle was selected, you saw Patrick Surtain come out in the pink suit, probably my favorite suit of the entire draft. You saw him come out and greet him, and then you saw Mac Jones run down the hallway to greet him. Devontae Smith was there as well. So there was an atmosphere in Cleveland that was perfect. It struck a great tone. I felt like it served as a springboard and a reminder that, yeah, things are going to be different in 2021. And it just seemed like there was so much fun at people being together. So I liked it. And there were watch parties all over the place too, which is great. I hope that you enjoyed it. We did hear from someone who was at First Energy Stadium earlier, and he just said it was fantastic. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's talk to Greg, who's in Detroit. Greg, what did you think about the Lions?
It's about time you talked about something other than quarterbacks. Is this Edie Lawrence? Hello?
Do you want to talk about the Lions, Greg?
Yes, definitely.
All right. You've got the floor. Go ahead.
All right. Looks like the Lions kind of see the draft.
All of that for nothing. Matt is listening in Dayton. Matt, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio. What do you think?
Hey, I am a diehard Panthers fan, born and raised. I love their eighth pick with J.C. Horn. Mm. This guy has got hands that are unbelievable. And once they picked him, so I worked third shift. Got off a little bit early today, looked at a lot of highlights. He's fast. He's what I like to call a manster, half man, half monster.
Can I please borrow that? I love that. A manster.
You go ahead. You take it. Put it in your pocket. Use it whenever you want. I was really expecting, you know, an offensive tackle or something like that. But I love this pick, and he is, just incredible. I really, really am happy about it.
Well, one of the things that I think is neat about him, sorry to cut off the, or cut you off there for a second, is that he's very often in college asked to cover the opponent's best receiver, right? And when you think about the fact that he played at South Carolina and what conference that is and how often he's being asked to guard guys or to defend guys who are otherworldly or NFL players themselves, that's a great training ground for what he'll see now at the NFL level. And he's got the full package, the speed, the toughness. He's got a good reach. And a lot of people believe that he is, if not the best corner, one of the best corners that was available. So good for the Panthers. But were you worried at any point that they might go quarterback?
Yes, and just to touch on what you just said before I answer that, I'm sorry, I don't want to keep you on the phone, but I love his resume. Like, his resume, like you were saying, is absolutely impressive. Heisman winner trophy. Like, he always covered the big guys. But to answer your question, yes, I was. I thought Justin Fields may come up. Teddy Bridgewater went wayside. And I thought, oh, no.
Oh, no.
But Matt Rhule and you know, last year was, you know, new management, new all of his coaches he brought in and everything, they've done a great job. Last year's draft was great. This year, I was just hoping that they wouldn't. I saw the Teddy trade, and that concerned me, but they stuck true. And I feel pretty proud of my team and the coaching staff that they have. I'm really impressed. I love it.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. And considering the division they play in, this is really important. They had the worst, actually the worst in their history, 7 interceptions last year. And so they really needed to get someone in who could mix it up in the secondary. And he's a plug and play guy. So that's great. I'm glad you're happy. Matt, thanks so much for the phone call. Good to talk to you in Dayton. That's a Panthers fan in Dayton, Ohio. Let's talk to Bob, who's in Pittsburgh. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hello?
Bob, you're up, hello? Sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. It went out for a minute. You know, I not that I hate Cleveland, but if you come in Pittsburgh, that we were told we were voted one of the best stadiums in the world. But anyhow, that's either here or there. But I invite you to come to Pittsburgh for a game. In fact, I have season tickets.
My family, my mom's family is from the Youngstown area, so I'm really familiar with Pittsburgh and Cleveland, halfway between the two. But yeah, I love Pittsburgh. They're both good cities.
Season tickets, so if you want to come, you have my number, call me. I'll take you to the game. I have good seats, so they're in the box, like the club seats. So anyhow, but that's beside the point. What I want to know, do you think that we're back this year with the draft pick we got with Harris? I heard in the radio where he had a watch party with the homeless kids, of which he lived in when he was younger. It brought tears to my eyes because he, you know, it just seems that, you know, hopefully we can get through the first round for a change. And I think Tomlin, I think they just renewed his contract for 3 years. But I think that, you know, we could pass one and done. I wonder your feelings on that. And about Tomlin, is he too predictable? But especially with Harris, you know, is this any relation to Franco Harris? We hope we're having a Harris back. You think we'll get past? Think we'll get past the first round of the playoffs? I mean, Roy.
Oh my gosh, I have no idea. I don't know about the playoffs. That I don't know, so I can't answer you that question. The NFL is too unpredictable, and it's April. It still is April. Actually, Friday, the last day of April. But I do like the pick. With James Conner going to Arizona, and James Conner really this past year was it was not a good fit. With the fact that they're changing so much of their offensive line, I also think it's important to have a running back who's big like he is. When he gets contact, Najee Harris, we saw it over and over, he can absorb contact. He can stiff arm defenders. He can also run effective routes if he needs to. He can pass block as well. So you've got all the elements of a running back that you would need, whether it's the blocking, whether it's the catching, whether it's just making some room, creating some room himself. Really good instincts is what people say about him. But we saw him on display at Alabama a lot. So, yes, I like the pick. I do think that it's exactly what they needed for Ben Roethlisberger, and especially considering that almost the entire offensive line is turning over.
Yes, yes. And Mason Rudolph, they gave him extended his contract for one more year today. If you heard that too, they just did it in the news tonight too, which I think he's not the answer. But I just think Oklahoma's too predictable. And how many times last year, and I don't want to hold out you up too much, I just really appreciate this. This is the first time I've called anybody in talk radio, so I'm really nervous. But how many times, I wonder why Ben didn't run 1 yard. We had fourth and one, third and one. That, and I'm wondering if the weather affected Ben's arm. I almost think they need to get a battery sleeve to put in his arm to keep it warm, because I wonder if the steel net when it got cold in Pittsburgh, if that affected his run, because he was off a little bit toward the end of the game. When it got cold, if you notice that, we're doing real well. Got colder weather, we sort of went on.
Well, I think it's more about the 55 or 60 times that he was throwing the ball and his arm getting tired. I don't think they want Ben Roethlisberger running. And Ben, as much as he's built like a linebacker, that's not the best option either. He needed to lose some weight, get in shape, but also they needed to have an offensive line and a running game that could complement him so he's not throwing the ball nearly as much. Roethlisberger has a lot of say in what happens. Bob, thank you so much for your phone call from Pittsburgh. This may very well be his last year with the Steelers. If he wants it to work out, he's going to have to find the formula that's best for the team, not just the formula that puts him in control all the time, which I think at times that was the issue.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.